Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, together the Outcast Radio Ministry, in light of the fact that this is Sanctity of Human Life Week and Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and we're going to give glory and honor to God for our life. If you're listening to me today, you were born at one time, maybe you don't remember it, but somebody loved you enough, somebody cared for you enough to give you life and to raise you up and to provide for you and protect you. And so we want to honor the sanctity, the value of each and every human on this earth. And beloved, I've been in many countries to preach the gospel, and it's a joy to see the spectrum of people in all the different cultures, all the different races, all the different ethnic groups, the languages, and it is such a joy to see all of these people that God has created in all their diversity and all their different cultural ways, and to see them and to know that God loves each and every person. Every person is made in the image of God, and every single person has the opportunity to come to know their Creator, to give honor and glory to their Creator. And so I'm going to be speaking about this issue here, which is a major, major issue in America, and I'm going to be showing you in the Scripture how important this is to God. And before we start, I want you to know that if you have been a part of an abortion, if you've supported it or encouraged it, or you've had an abortion, or you've paid for an abortion, if you've been a participant in abortion in any way, shape, or form in your life, I want you to know this is not a condemnation of you. Jesus said that there is no condemnation in Him, in Christ Jesus. There is forgiveness. There is hope. There is restoration. And I want you to know, if you've had abortions or if you've participated in abortions, that you can be restored, that whatever the devil has stolen from you, that it can be restored back to you. And I want you to know there's healing in God's Word. There's healing in the Scriptures, and there's healing, and there's hope, and there's restoration. And so whatever I speak to you today, it's not to bring shame or guilt upon your life. It's to bring revelation, and it's to bring understanding of God's Word. I'm not taking sides here. This is not a political diatribe. This is not a political statement, although politics are involved, but I'm speaking for the Word of God, and God is for His Word. God cannot go back on His Word. He cannot contradict Himself. And so when we see something and we read something in God's Word that has important implications in our life, we need to pay attention, because those implications carry over not only from our life, but it carries over to our families, to our neighborhoods, our villages, our communities, our cities, and ultimately to our country. And so these issues are very important to God. They're very important to the welfare and the blessings of God on the United States of America. And so as we start here, I just want you to keep that in mind, that I'm speaking for God here. I'm not speaking for a political party. I'm not speaking for any particular candidate or any particular person. I'm speaking for Jehovah God, our Creator. And so you can extrapolate that into politics or whatever aspect of life that you want to extrapolate it into. But this is God's Word, and I suggest that we take it and we heed it and we be obedient to it, and we start to see how His Word then can apply to our life and can apply to the policies and the dictates of the government of the United States of America. Well, Genesis 1, open up your Bible there. We're going to start in Genesis 1. This is the foundation of all of creation. This is the foundation of all humankind, no matter where they're found, in Africa, Asia, wherever they're found, United States of America. This is the foundation, the pillar, and it is God's plan for us, that He created us in His own image, and He created us to be creative. He created us to come to know Him as our Lord and Savior, as our Creator, and that our greatest and highest purpose here on this earth has already been given to us and already been spoken to us and over us by our Creator God. Verse 26, Genesis 1, God said, "Let us make man in our image." Well, Jesus was sitting beside God at the time that He created us. "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And then I'm going to jump to verse 31 in Genesis 1. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Well, beloved, if you're listening to me out there today, which you are, when God made you, when he was finished making you, he stood back and he said, you are good. You are a wonderful creation. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God didn't make any junk. He didn't make any accidents. He didn't regret that he had made you. And so every single person out there listening to me, every single person on the face of the earth, even those not listening to me, every single person has been created in the image of God. He was speaking to Jesus. He said, let us make man in our image. And so you have eyes, you have ears, you have hands, you have feet, just like God does. God is spirit, but he also has a body. He has physical attributes. And the same with Jesus. We know that Jesus walked this earth just like a man. He had hands, he had feet, he had eyes, he had ears, he had a nose, he suffered, he shed blood. And so he is just like us in every aspect. He was tempted in every way, just like we are. And so God has created you, beloved. He has created you in his image, and he spoke over you your destiny and your calling and your purpose here. He spoke that over you even before you were knit in your mother's womb. He told Jeremiah in the first chapter of Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, I have spoken over you to be a prophet to the nations. Even before you were knit in your mother's womb, I spoke over you, I declared over you what you are to be, what you are to do, what your calling is, and he has done that for each and every one of us. And I can tell you, beloved, your highest calling is to fulfill whatever God has spoken over you. That is your highest purpose here on this earth, and I think you should get about trying to find out what your highest purpose is. If you don't know why God created you, if you're out there stumbling around and you're lost in the world of confusion and drugs and out into the wilderness area going round and around in circles, I think you need to spend time off by yourself in prayer and in fasting. Ask the Lord to reveal to you what your highest purpose is. Why did you create me, God? What is my highest purpose? Beloved, every single purpose has a calling under the sun, has a calling under Creator God, and it is the glory of man to search it out. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the glory of man or the glory of kings to search it out. Your highest purpose is to find out what God has for you to do here on this earth and then get about doing it. It may be to be the best electrician, it may be to be the best car mechanic, the best teacher, lawyer, whatever, but it also may be to be a prophet of the Lord, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, go high in the kingdom, set aside earthly pursuits and go high in the kingdom and become that greatest thing that God has created you to be. Well, in Genesis 9:5, after the great flood that wiped out all the earth, God had seen that the contamination of all mankind had come about to where all mankind was very wicked and very evil. And God says, I'm going to start all over again. I'm going to wipe out all the earth, all of the people, except for one family, and that is Noah and his family were preserved because Noah was blameless and Noah was faithful. He built the ark. He went ahead and stepped out in faith and built the ark. He prepared for the great flood, even though he had never seen that much water. He spent 120 years building the ark, and so Noah was faithful. He stepped out in faith, and after the great flood and after all of the other peoples of the earth had been wiped out, God then established a covenant with Noah to establish the rules, you might say, or to establish the agreement with Noah of how mankind was to proceed from that day forth. And in Genesis 9:5, part of that covenant, God says to Noah, "Surely from your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man." Verse 6, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply in it." And so God is saying here to Noah, whenever man's blood is shed, when the innocence of man, when their blood is shed, God says, "I will demand a payment for that blood that is shed." And when the payment comes due, God says, "I'm going to present you a bill. I'm going to say the payment is due," and then God says, "I'm going to take it," because God is a righteous judge. He sees every situation. He sees every detail of every life and of every country, and he is a righteous judge. And when God says there's a payment due, then the payment has to be made. And God is about righteousness. He's about holiness. He's about justice. Ultimately, every wrong has to be righted. Ultimately, every situation that is not right, that goes against God's commands and it goes against God's will, that situation must be righted. And so there is a situation going on in America for the last 40 years. You all know about it. Everybody knows about it. And that is when the Supreme Court of the United States declared abortion to be accessible and easily obtained by every single person who desires one. And I believe it is God's will that this law be overturned. I believe it is God's will that there be no abortion in America, that people cannot wantonly and willfully kill and murder the babies in their womb. And I know this is strong language, but that is exactly what it is. It is murder of the unborn. It is sacrifice of their blood to demon gods, and I believe it is God's will that this stop. I have ministered in many countries in Africa where it is against the law, where the laws do not support this kind of activity, and you can see the blessings on those countries. You can see the hope and the joy in the people in those countries, and we have lost that in America because of this culture of death that has been initiated by free and easy access to abortion here in America. And now 1 million babies routinely are aborted every year. 1 million babies are sacrificed to the altars and the demon gods of convenience and sexual immorality and not wanting to take up the responsibility of raising these children. And I know this is not God's will. God wants us to take care of our babies. He wants us to bring them to maturity, to watch over them, to guard them, to provide for them. And I think, beloved, it's very ironic that in all the countries where I've ministered at in Africa, it is against the law to abort a baby. And these people have very little money. Many times they live hand to mouth on a daily basis. They don't have money stored up. They don't have food stored up. They don't know from one day to the next where the food is going to come from to feed these people, to feed these children. And yet, out of faith, they have their babies. Out of faith, they take care of them and they provide for them. They scratch a living out of gardening or farming or basic small businesses, and they provide for their children. And here in America, where we have so much excess and abundance of material wealth, where we are so wealthy, we have all kinds of issues and illnesses and diseases and mental struggles because of our wealth and our excess of wealth. We don't think we can afford to take care of babies. We don't think we can afford to have babies and have children. I believe, beloved, that God is going to change this. This is a wrong that needs to be righted. I believe that Roe v. Wade, the law that gave easy access to abortion in America, I believe that law is going to be overturned. And I believe that God wants to shake this nation and bring to account this continued wanton destruction of the children that were created in his image. And let me say, too, that the destiny of America as a nation has been greatly changed by this abortion industry, by this fact of abortion. The destiny of America has been greatly changed, and we are missing now 60 million babies that could have been the next generation of workers on our farms, in our factories, in our political systems, in our education systems. They're missing 60 million people that could have been there and should have been there had abortion not been legal and promoted amongst the people here of the United States of America. And so God wants to change this. He wants to right the wrongs, and I believe He is going to right the wrongs, and enough people are starting to open their eyes and see what has gone on the last 40 years, and enough people are starting to open their eyes and see, and there's going to be a cry come out, not only from the blood of the innocents, which has polluted the land. This cry goes up to the ears of the Lord. This cry goes up, and God hears the cry, but the cry is now going up from young people all across this land, and people that have seen sonograms when they have become pregnant, and pastors and people in the pulpit and priests. The cry is going up, and it is a cry that God cannot ignore, and He's going to right the wrongs, and He's going to use us to help right the wrongs of this abortion industry here in America. Well, in Psalm 106, the psalm that recounts the story of the children of Israel as they went out into the wilderness area and then into the promised land, it reads like a story, a capsule summary of the story of the children of Israel. And Psalm 106, verse 34, tells about the children of Israel as they arrived in the promised land. It says, "They did not destroy the peoples concerning whom the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the Gentiles, and they learned their works. And they served their idols, which became a snare to them." Well, let me just stop there and say, beloved, anytime you serve the idols of the enemy, anytime you serve the idols of the devil, and you make agreements with the devil, and you make contracts and covenants with the devil is going to demand blood. He's also going to snare you in other ways besides the ways that you made agreements with him. You give him legal access into your life, into your community, and ultimately into your nation when you make agreements with the devil. And it's going to be an agreement that you'll come to regret. Walk with the devil is fun for a little while. Sin is pleasurable for a little while. But then the wages of sin is death. And the wages of sin is death, not only here on this earth. Many people are taken out before their time because they walk with the devil. Many people suffer all kinds of physical and mental illnesses because of their walk with the devil. But also the wages of sin is eternal death. When you get separated from God and you don't reconcile your life back to God and you don't repent of your sin, then you are separated from God for all eternity because you are in agreement with the evil one, because you have made agreements with the devil. And if you don't break off those agreements, God gives you what you want, which is eternal life with the devil. And so verse 37, it says here that the children of Israel, then they even sacrificed their sons and daughters to the demons, and they shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, to the demons, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. They were defiled by their own works, and they played their harlot with their own deeds. Well, we have done the very same thing here in America. Beloved, we have sacrificed our children and our unborn to the demon gods, and we have shed their blood, and the blood has polluted the land. It cries out from the land. We have burnt our babies in the incinerators behind the hospitals and behind the abortion clinics, and we have buried them in the landfills here in America, and their blood cries out from the land, and it goes up to the ears of God. And beloved, when you make agreements with the enemy, he will always demand blood. That is why so many young people today are into cutting of their arms and their wrists and other parts of their body. They're into cutting, and the devil will continue to demand blood, and he will eventually demand your life. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, And Jesus said, I have come to give you life and to give you life abundantly. And beloved, if you want abundant life, you have to speak against the devil in your life. If you want abundant life, you have to give your life over to Jesus and start to speak against those agreements that you have made with the devil. And maybe you have never cut yourself, or maybe you have never had an abortion or anything of that where you've actually given blood, but you are supporting the abortion industry, or you've made agreement with it, then the blood is on your hands, the blood is on your head, and collectively as a nation, we all have to take responsibility for this abortion industry. We all have to take responsibility for the 60 million babies that have been aborted, and we have to say, Lord, enough is enough. We understand how we have grieved your heart, Father God. We have to understand how we have grieved your heart, and it is time to make amends. It is time to change direction, to repent and go in a different way, and stop making agreements with the powers and principalities of the devil over this nation, and start to claim that this nation is going to exalt God and raise him up, and the mountain of God is going to be the highest mountain in the United States of America. And when we come to that realization and then start to take steps to move in that direction, we're going to see blessings poured out on this nation like you can't even imagine. We're going to see blessings and prosperity pour out in the economic sector and on our children. And in all these ways, we're going to see lots of blessings that we have not seen for many, many years here in America. Well, in verse 39, it says, they were defiled by their works, and they played the harlot with their own deeds. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against his own people, so that he abhorred his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hand of the Gentiles, and those who hated them ruled over them. Well, beloved, if we don't turn from our wicked ways, if we don't turn to God and break off these agreements that we have made with the evil one and with the powers and principalities of the kingdom of darkness, if we don't break these agreements off, God is going to give this nation into the hand of our enemies, and you will see it. Mark my words, you will see it, that our enemies will come and take over this land, and God will use the enemies, the people that we hate, the people that we despise, he will use them to come and bring correction to this great nation. And I pray, beloved, for the sake of my children, for the sake of my grandchildren, for the sake of your children and grandchildren, that day never comes, but we need to get down on our knees and repent. We need to get down on our knees and ask the Lord to come in and shake this great nation and shake it so that we start to understand God's will for this nation and we start to act appropriately and change the laws of this nation to get in alignment with the kingdom of God. Well, Jeremiah 7:31, there's many scriptures in Jeremiah where God tried to shake the nation of Israel, and he used Jeremiah the prophet to speak to them. And Jeremiah was speaking to them, but their ears were closed, and his words fell on deaf ears, and they weren't able to hear what God was trying to say to them through the prophet. And Jeremiah 7:31, it says, and they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it ever come into my heart. And God says, I did not command this. I didn't think it. Other scriptures in Jeremiah say, God says, I never even conceived that this could happen, that people would burn their own sons and daughters, that people would sacrifice their own children to the demon gods, that they would shed their blood and sacrifice to the demon gods. God says, it never came into my mind. And this is the all-knowing, omniscient God who knows the beginning from the end. God says, this never even came into my mind that I think that this would happen. And so God is against it. God does not want every single baby to be in the balance of should I keep it or should I not? Should I birth this baby or should I not? God says he wants to see every child live out their destiny. He wants to see every child live out their calling and have an opportunity to be everything that He has spoken over them, everything that He is calling them to be. And beloved, I believe we have the material wealth. I believe we have the resources here in America. If African nations can take care of their babies, we can do it here in America. And we can learn to nurture our children from the time of conception on, and to give honor and glory to God for every single child, every single baby, born and unborn. We take care of these children and start to love them, start to care for them as God would have us to do. Well, beloved, in Africa, we are building an orphanage. There are some children in Africa, naturally, who are not taken care of. They are the victims of the HIV epidemic. They are the ones left when their parents died, and we are building an orphanage in Africa for 30 to 40 children. We're also partnering with our host church over there and the New Hope Preschool, and we're sponsoring children in the preschool to give them the love of Jesus, to give them maize meal every day when they come to school, and also to teach them about the love of Jesus for their life. And I pray you get involved with Gather the Outcast Ministry to take the love of Jesus to the people in Africa, to these children. And we're going to take children off the streets in Kenya, and we're going to put them in a nice home, feed them very well, and teach them about Jesus Christ, and take care of them, and give them a chance to have a good life. And if you would be so kind as to help support this ministry, I know you will be blessed. I know God is going to bless you. And there are many ways that you can get involved to help the children in Africa and be a part of this great ministry. And I invite you to do that today. If you have never supported this ministry for the radio broadcast, for the projects in Africa, let today be the first day that you have done that. Stay tuned for contact information. We'll give you an opportunity to help support this ministry here in just a minute. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.